Rabalicious, what's up, man?
Things are going really well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I mean, has anyone ever called you Rabalicious?
No. Nobody. No. Not yet. Well, now I have one. One that has.
Yeah, you have one. Okay. My brother, I'm glad that we are here today. We're out here where we record this podcast in Southeast Florida. And right now, the area we're in is preparing itself for the potential landfall of Dorian, the portrait of Dorian Gray. Mm. And so we're putting our collective rabbi priest prayers together and just praying for this thing to go east into the water.
Mm.
Go east into the water, Dorian.
So, I mean, I think that for us is obviously, you know, the first thing on our minds is, you know, how do we prepare? How do we get it ready? How do we secure our communities and our friends and family? Just wait and see.
Yeah. So we're preparing for that. And then today on our show, so that's a vibe that's just going through our podcast today. So you know where we're, what our context is. And, you know, we are so excited that this podcast has, that you're listening to it. It's, I think we're now in how many countries, my friend?
A lot.
Okay. Last time we were at 35?
Something like that.
Okay, that's cool. So 35 countries. So if you enjoy these podcasts, what is such a blessing to us is that you're like, hey, I know some people who might dig on this podcast. I'm going to take a screenshot of this because I'm listening to it while I'm at the gym, while I'm on my elliptical, and I'm going to share this with my friends and be like, yo, guys, there's a priest and a rabbi who'd like to talk about a lot of goofy stuff and talk about religious stuff and faith stuff and relationship stuff. And today they talked about a guy who's a TikTok sensation. Yes. So share and like and comment on this. It really helps with all those fun algorithms that Apple Podcasts, and it just helps people find us faster. We love getting people involved. So today we are going to be talking about this whole social media platform of TikTok that you might or may not know. If you have 11-year-old child like the rabbi does, you will definitely know about it. And so we're bringing on a priest, Reverend David Peters, who's right outside Austin, and he has become a TikTok sensation. Rabbi, what did you think when I said, hey, let's have this guy on our show?
Well, I mean, you know, given the context of, you know, being a TikTok sensation and the fact that, you know, there are probably many out there that are not familiar with the platform of TikTok itself, you know, just being able to you know, inform and, you know, bring more of our social connectivity to the forefront.
Yeah, but you think I was nuts when I was like, let's get this TikTok guy on?
Well, I mean, I think once I got your text and, you know, you sent me a bunch of links after reading about him and seeing what's out there. It's fun. No, it was.
Were you nervous at first?
A little bit.
You were like, has the father lost his mind?
No.
Were you like, now Christian and I should not go out to lunch anymore. I just need to take him out for a drink.
Yeah, or coffee.
Okay. Oh, now I look like the bad guy saying we should go out for a drink. And you're like, oh, let's go out for coffee. You know, you realize that our banner for our show is us, you and I, holding up a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did not drink during the photo shoot.
We did not.
No, we did not. We did not. All right, my man. Well, I know you're also gearing up for a pretty hefty season in the Jewish calendar.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. I mean, obviously, you know, tonight we have Shabbat services at 7:30 at the temple, and tomorrow morning we'll have Torah study at 9, and followed by we have Bar Mitzvah tomorrow morning. But yeah, in 30 some odd short days, we will hit our high holy day season of Rosh Hashanah, and certainly of Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot and Simchat Torah, and it's jam packed for probably the next 45-50 days.
So here we go. Here we go.
It's busy. So with that, here we go. It is on behalf of Father Anderson and myself, we give great pleasure and are very excited to welcome to our show and to the podcast Reverend David Peters.
God bless you. Enjoy the show.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Chaim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents a priest and a rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host,
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Father Christian, and next to me is the best darn good-looking rabbi that you have seen this side of the Jordan River. It is Rabbi Matthew Durbin. Matthew Durbin, how are you, my rabbi?
I'm okay. How are you this fine, seemingly raining morning in South Florida?
Soaking up all this simulated, whatever, seemingly wonderful weather, ostensibly wonderful weather right now, knowing that, you know, in a couple of days, it just might get a little more choppier with the weather. And that's what we're hoping for, just a little bit more weather. We're praying that the God above, the great Ruach, will come and
Ruach,
my Hebrew, will blow this, blow winds come rack. That's from Othello, by the way. That will blow this wind out into the Atlantic Ocean, and no one has to sweat this stuff. So that's what we're all hoping for. So, but you've been putting up shutters. You've been getting your, grimy over at your house.
So yesterday we, I decided to leave work a little bit early yesterday, and probably in my best interest to prepare. Although I won't be here, hopefully.
Tell our listeners. What airport are you connecting through on your way to Chi-Town?
So just to get a little bit
that is not Hebrew.
A little bit more background. My wife's grandmother, it happens to be turning 102.
Holy cow, she ate her Wheaties.
So, you know, for this one, my wife's cousin's son is becoming bar mitzvah on Saturday. So the whole family, the entire extended family from coast to coast, from California all the way down to Florida, are making the very arduous task of going to Chicago for this amazing event. So the bar mitzvah will be tomorrow on Saturday. And then we're doing a big kind of 102 celebration for her grandmother. So my wife left this morning with my in-laws, and I have myself a bar mitzvah for our community tomorrow morning. But I'm flying out tomorrow night out of Chicago. And as I was checking this morning just to see, you know, my flight details, whether or not I'm actually leaving or this, that, and the other, couldn't find it. So then I typed in the airport code or whatever it is to find out my flight. And what I realized was, and I looked and I said, whoa, 6 o'clock. I guess they changed my flight. And then I saw it a little bit later that said 9:30 p.m. out of Fort Lauderdale. But my plane that's coming in to take me to Chicago from Fort Lauderdale is flying from San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, I thought you were connecting in Puerto Rico.
No.
Oh, well,
that would be really strange for me to go from South Florida to Puerto Rico all the way to Chicago.
I thought you got some ticket for like $59 or something like that. And they're like, well, you got to connect to Puerto Rico. All right, so your plane is coming from Puerto Rico. You're going to be fine. It's skimmed Puerto Rico.
So you know, the interesting thing, and I thought about this the other day, that, you know, the stress of having to put up shutters, the stress of what's going to ensue in the next few days, and kind of the panic mode that we all go through. And as I'm putting up my shutters, and of course, you know, hurricanes never seem to come when it's, you know, pleasant weather out there where it's 60, 65, 70 degrees. Happened to be 98 degrees with the heat index of like well over 100 degrees.
Right.
And I'm out there and I'm moving my stuff in my garage.
I can just see it.
Getting these metal shutters. And, you know, I was smart this year. I decided to buy gloves so that I don't cut up my hands. So, you know, I put these shutters up and I do half my house, half the side. I'm sweating. I jump in the pool. I come back. And, you know, it took a very scant 6 hours for me to do probably half of my house yesterday.
I mean, you could have paid $100 and have someone do the whole thing in 2 hours.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that. And the overriding kind of feeling I had was, I don't know if I want to pay somebody to do it. I mean, I know it's hard work and it's arduous and it's monotonous and everything else and it's tough and it's heavy. But there's something about that gratification of
getting half of it done.
Yeah, getting half of it done. But securing your own home and, I don't know, sure, just the pain that goes with it. And as I'm putting up these shutters, it was almost like a moment of calm of, you know, I'm doing what everyone else hopefully seemingly will be doing either today, tomorrow, gearing up for a storm. And I actually found it rather cathartic.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And yeah, I got that last year. So we don't have shutters. We board up. So when you board up, you just grab... just go grab some plywood. And last year, or was it 2 years ago with Irma, I was one of those last second folks and decided I'm going to go get some wood from Home Depot. And they gave us particle board, which, so my Los Angeline butt was like, oh, it's this wood, right? So I had these two guys from church come over and help me. And they knew all along that this was just just ridiculous.
But, you know, it's also interesting. But, you know,
because particle board is not going to stop a flying coconut, right? No. So I'm putting up for 4 hours, we're throwing up this particle board, and it's just, they're inside. They're just saying, we're just doing this for Father Christian because we want him to feel better and we want him to feel secure. So they spent, I mean, this is the Christian spirit. This is the godly spirit. They spent a good time for 4 hours putting up all these particle boards, knowing that it wasn't going to work, but just so that I could have the same feeling you had of that gratification, knowing we put in the time, we put in the energy, and here we are.
But I think twofold. One is one of the things that I'm always rather impressed by is the fact of what community really means in times of distress like this.
So why are you doing it by yourself? Invite some of your community in.
Well, you know, the challenge is that, even my own, homeowners community, the development that we live in, it's a very solid and just very amazing community. But, nobody's really, really out there right now. I assume today people are going to start boarding up their houses tomorrow, certainly. I don't really have the luxury of tomorrow. But there's something really just incredible that everyone comes together.
Yes.
If you see anyone that is in need of help, I mean, people are out on the streets, people are out in their developments offering help and offering assistance.
This is the one time of the year that people told me when I moved here to Florida that everyone is just on everyone's side.
Yeah, I mean, besides Halloween, where you have the opportunity to go into other people's homes and kind of peek.
Yeah.
This really is the time where
it unifies everyone.
People are there together. You know, it's funny. So yesterday I have three drills at home, but
stop,
I don't
drop and roll.
But
the first one.
But I don't know where my, AC adapter, where my power cord is, right? Instead of searching for it, which could take hours throughout my house, and my kids put them in weird places. I decided to go to Home Depot and buy myself a drill yesterday. So I got home last night. My wife gets home last night, and she goes, "So, did you buy a new drill?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Don't we have three of them,
dude?"
And I said, "Well, I don't want to chance at this and the other." And I said, "Worst case scenario, if I ever do find those cords and the rechargeable stuff, I can always throw it up. Anyone wants to buy them, $25, I'll sell you three amazing drills." But I bought this drill yesterday, and trying as best I can to secure everything.
Yeah, man, hurricanes are good for the economy. People will buy three drills. They'll buy 18 pieces of particle board. They'll buy a ton of peanut butter. One person who is finding just as hurricanes can unite us all, you know what I mean? You were talking about this. We got a guy today. We got a wonderful guest today, Reverend David Peters, who is finding a way to tap into a community of folks. And we've talked about this before. We talked about this post-religious culture that we're in right now, a post-religious time. And there's always that question, are we really in a post-religious time? And we like to explore that. The rabbi and I love to explore this here on A Priest and a Rabbi. And
so I do have to say, though, also having a special guest on who is a TikTok sensation. And just for those that may not be aware, and I think it's something really remarkable, because the app itself for TikTok is fabulous. It is something that, you get 11-second videos. It's very popular, and it's popular amongst all generations. And I knew nothing about this until my 8-year-old had said, so one of her cousins out in Brooklyn is very big on this. So she's been, letting my daughter know, and my daughter's really excited. So when I said to her the other day, I said, I'm having this, we're having this very special guest on. And she said, "Who?" And I said, "Well, he's a priest, and he's out in Austin, and he does these TikTok videos." And my 8-year-old goes, "Oh my goodness, are you serious?" And I said, "You've seen them?" She goes, "Dad, there's like these videos of this priest who changes into a million different outfits, and he's super energetic, and he's got Dad, I'd love it." And I said, "You've heard of it?" And she goes, "Haven't you?" And I just thought it was really amazing, because it is something that, for those that are unaware of TikTok, and we'll go into it in a minute, is it engages anyone from, a very, very young age all the way up through, you know, all age brackets. And it's just, it's an amazing way to connect via social media. It is a wonderful way for people to explore, you know, difference within our
yeah,
society.
And it's not everyone is totally aware of it, but just because it's another platform for people to jump on. And you really have to be social media savvy to be like, okay, let me add another one. That's not really about communicating with another person. It's about more of a expression and communicating your message. And so we're going to hear stories from Reverend David about why he jumped on, how he jumped on, and then how this thing went viral, his videos. And now he has his ability to communicate with a whole new audience of folks. And we will once again on the show jump into how are we communicating and talking about religion and about faith in the 21st century in the United States of America, where the numbers will theoretically say that people are not going to church or synagogue or mosque, but maybe there's something deeper going on, or maybe there's a bigger hunger going on, and maybe it's happening on your TikTok app. So without further ado, can we bring on our the wonderful, the one, the only, the TikTok sensation, Reverend David W. Peters. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
All right, my man. So listen, you have, you know, the rabbi's daughters are all going goo goo gaga right now because they knew exactly who you were. You're the first guest on the show that besides the rabbi's wife, that his daughters knew and are also doing somersaults over right now.
Well, in my kid's mind, you're the biggest celebrity that they know besides Neil Patrick Harris. They love NPH.
Good, good.
But you know,
even better.
So this is big. So you're probably the first big celebrity. So please, after the show, if we can get a signed autograph, any kind of picture, yeah, or something like that, mail to us and give that to the rabbi's daughters. My gosh, you would make three young Jewish girls go absolutely nuts. And
I'll,
you know,
sign their iPhone screens with a Sharpie. That's what I do.
With a Sharpie, right on.
No one appreciates it though.
All right, my man. So listen, not everyone here is going to really know what TikTok is, and so the rabbi gave a brief summary of what TikTok is, but can you say what got you to finally? You're a church planner. You have a brand new church. You're out in Austin. You're keeping it weird, and now you're saying, let's do TikTok.
Yeah, it's been really strange for me to be involved in that when I came home from Iraq over 10, 11 years ago as a chaplain over there. I part of my untreated PTSD was to drop all social media. There wasn't that much back then, but I got off Facebook because I was kind of new, and I didn't have a mobile phone for a while when I left the Army, and I just really just felt this burden of social media, like this is too much for me and everybody else. But then as I slowly started to get healthier and heal some more, I started to realize, well, this is a great way to tell a story. It's a new technology. It's definitely a technology that has a very deep kind of silos to it. TikTok is probably the deepest silo or rabbit hole you can ever imagine, because you're like, oh my word. There's this whole community of people making little videos that are creative and funny that I didn't know about. And there's literally millions and millions of them, which I didn't know. And I got into it because I saw a Marine TikTok video that a young Marine did about how she does her hair in the morning. If you know, the military has very high standards of grooming especially for women. So to put her hair in this bun every day is quite an accomplishment. So she made a 11-second video of this with some Marine Corps humor in it. I was in the Marines many years ago, and I thought, that's a really creative way to make a movie, because part of the difficulty of using, making movies is that they're really hard to edit. And I've used iMovie and things like that to make little videos. But this one is really fairly easy to use for just an ordinary user. But it's been really something to connect with younger people that I don't connect with in most of my ordinary circles of life. I think I have two teenage sons, and they were appalled that their friends had seen me on TikTok. And I said, well, are they giving you grief? Is there trouble? You know, they just know you, and that's embarrassing enough. They've seen it. So I think that, as a as a church starter, church planter here in Texas in a growing suburb of Austin, I'm always looking for ways to tell our story. We're an inclusive church in a place where there aren't a lot of churches that are inclusive of LGBT people. We're a liturgical church, which is very different from most of the churches. So I try to show some of that stuff that we do through this medium. But I'd been doing it on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And those are very, well, Facebook's a very personal kind of thing. Most of the people you know on Facebook are people you kind of knew in real life, even if you went to high school with them back in the day. And Instagram is very, very visual, non-political, very non-issue based, really, just picture sharing. And then Twitter is all about like dunking and, you know, being snarky and witty and mean. And that's like its own place. But TikTok is all about expression. It's all about, I think people, a lot of students and young people are really into the arts and are into creativity, seem to be drawn to it. And that's why I decided to try to make a few videos on it.
And so was the one that we all know, the Hot Priest Summer, is that the one that really took off?
Yeah, there were, well, you know, with that rap, the rap artist, Megan Thee Stallion, I think, had a statement. I don't think it was a song yet, but a statement about hot girl summer. I thought about, boy, all the religious connotations of that that are just deep. I mean, certainly the adoration of the Blessed Virgin Mary to me is the feminine image that I go to kind of first in my mind of womanhood and clothes of the sun in the Book of Revelation. I was thinking about that, and I thought about the amount of heat that priests and clergy go through just in normal liturgy in the summer. I'm in Texas. It's so hot here. We have pretty good air conditioning in most places, but we were doing a lot of outdoor services at the park, and it was just so hot. So I thought, here I am, one of the outfits I was doing for that outfit change video, which is a standard TikTok thing. It's like you post a video of outfits that you're nervous to wear out in public, and people like put on either really silly outfits or outfits that they're not sure about wearing out in public or something, and they'll do these videos. So I was like, I'm going to do it with vestments, and it's really hot, and I have this suit, a seersucker suit. It's a Southern staple, I think, across denominational lines, the seersucker suit. But I learned about it in the Episcopal Church, and so I thought, well, that's hot. That's my version of Hot Priest Summer. You wear the seersucker suit, you can go outside in the heat. And so I think that line really connected to people, because one thing about TikTok, it's not an abusive platform. In other words, people are really positive generally. They're not doing a lot of really demeaning anyone. Right. But it is a little transgressive in the sense that going across certain boundary lines of comedy and humor are really funny. And I think the art of that is to know what is respectful and what is appropriate. And to me, religion is one of the funniest things on the planet, one of the funniest institutions. Of course, it's formal and serious. We're dealing with life and death and the afterlife and the mystery and grief and pain and sorrow and loss. I mean, that's sort of why we're still here on the planet, I think, for some of the really difficult things. But there's also, in that intense environment of community and liturgy, there's a lot of goofiness and fun that can be had. And I've probably laughed more in churches than I've laughed in a lot of other places, because I think when we're filled with a spirit of love for other people, it creates really great moments for just enjoying being alive. And I know it was Friedman who said, you can tell the emotional health of an organization by how much they're laughing with each other. And I've always thought about that in every church setting I've been in. Like, are we laughing? Not that we have to laugh all the time, but is that something that we can do as a community, is laugh together?
Yeah, I think that's
so. Yeah,
that's good.
I try to bring that out.
Yeah, that's great. This that Friedman quote. That's true. And A lot of times when you find religion on social media platforms, it's not creating laughter. I mean, a lot of times it's trying to create either to evoke or to provoke. And other times, unfortunately, it seems like it's more from a demeaning perspective or a judgmental perspective. So to have this,
right.
I'm assuming, and we'd love to hear more, of what's the feedback been from a lot of these, all ages, but particularly even teenagers, that now seeing this fun, kind of goofy priest who's throwing on all these outfits, is it more like they're just totally enjoying it? Or is there some who are just like, really want to know more? Say, so what is this all about? What does this mean? Like, and does it ever lead to any kind of religious conversations?
It definitely does. And it's a really wide net, if you will. Any social media is, it's much like a billboard. You know, you put your billboard up with your message, come buy a car here at this dealership. And, you know, the amount of people are actually going to buy a car are really, really low. But I know that we live in this post-religious landscape. There are a lot of young people that are connected to some faith group, but the way they experience it is like their parents yelling at them to get out the door. I mean, this is how my kids experience it, at least. You know, hurry up, we got to go. We got to look good, be on time. And so as a child in any religion, there's a process they have to go through where they kind of appropriate it, and they see a different image of it. We have to, like, see a different image of our childhood faith, I think, to really embrace it. And it has to come to us at the right time. So the feedback I get are that I'm really, I guess, different from anything else on social media. There are other clergy members on TikTok, but not a lot of Episcopal priests. I mean, there's not a lot of Episcopal priests in America, so the numbers that are on TikTok are even smaller. But they're growing. We're getting a few more on there. But the feedback I get is a lot of comments like, I'm an atheist, but I love your videos. And some are probably a little over the top about, like, oh, I'm coming back to religion again, or coming back to church, there's two folks that live in Austin that are coming to church in September, they told me. So, you know, it's like, wow, this might result in a few people coming to services, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because, you know, I think that getting a message out of positivity about religion and about faith can really help people know that they're not alone. That's one thing that social media is really good for younger people, is to know that, boy, the struggle they're having, either intellectually or theologically or relationally, is they're not the only one who's ever had that problem, especially for teens and students and the younger people in the 20s who don't know that there's inclusive religious communities out there for gay and lesbian and people that identify as LGBTQIA, that there's communities out there that's a norm, that's just part of the community. And
have you also found, David, have you found that throughout the, you know, videos that you've created, that you've also in some semblance created a culture of approachability? That, you know, when I look back to, you know, from a Jewish context, I look back to my rabbis in my home synagogue, there was something of it being, you know, my faith leaders almost being unapproachable. And I think through,
yeah,
you know, very clever and certainly very, humorous kind of videos, that it shows that my faith leader, my clergy, are fun. It's engaging. It's exciting. And I think from a community standpoint of seeing them or hearing them or being present with it, to be able to say, I want to experience that. I want to be there. I want to share in the joy that, you know, that's been brought forward.
Absolutely. I think the way my experience of religion as a child, which is like my narrow experience, I think it's very similar to what you just shared, that the religious leaders were somewhat unapproachable, if not even a little stern at times, and that's kind of how kids experience it. And I think for them to know that we live in a really different age in religious communities right now. Every religious community I know of has, like, devotes a lot of their seminar time and training time to, like, how do we get the message out to people that aren't part of this? And every church has a little different take on how we talk about, you know, people that aren't inside to join us. But the truth is, not even just to get people in the doors. It's really a way of creating goodwill in a community, because churches are here for communities, and yet most religious communities, the people that attend are from quite far away. They're not the neighbors that live next to the building. So social media is like the new town square, where you can go out in the town square, be present in it, and adapt to the culture of it. You know, not to try to change the genre of the literature, if you will. If I look at the way Holy Scripture was written in from my Christian context in the New Testament, it was written in Greek, which was the language that was the most available to people in the ancient Near East at that time. They kept the letters kind of short, and a lot of the books pretty short, and got them out. They passed them around. Like, humans have always shared ideas through new media, and I think the church should have a place in that. And to create approachability, to know that when I was an Army chaplain, I would ride my bike home from the hospital. I worked at Walter Reed in D.C., and I would put on my shorts and get on my bicycle, and people would look at me like, what are you doing? Wait, you're in shorts? I'm like, yeah, before I was a chaplain, I was a human being. You know, I'm like a real person here. I've got all kinds of, I've got the same problems you've got with life. You know,
sure.
This is not, being religious isn't an escape from reality. In fact, it's a deeper embrace of reality and a deeper reality of life. It doesn't take us away from all the struggles and problems. It actually, I did a video on TikTok about coming home from Iraq and what that was like for me. I mean, it was literally like 11 seconds with like two lines of text, but you know, there's music there, and the response to that was really, really powerful, that people identified with that kind of story and they understood the way I was trying to tell it. And I mean, those are really good ways to communicate.
What is there a way where, have you thought like what could be next of how you can blossom this opportunity? Because there's a lot of clergy members. I have a lot of associates who are on Twitter. They're on various social media platforms, but not a lot of them have the impression rate that you have. I mean, you have a reach. You were here in small Stuart, Florida, and on a show called A Priest and a Rabbi, and the rabbi's daughters all know who you are, right? So you're making an impression that's reaching nationally. And so what's the next step? Because I think there's a great opportunity here for you where you figured out the algorithm, figuratively or literally, and where would you like to see this go, as in your outreach and connecting with folks who are searching and seeking and who are hungry if you want to call it religiously conscious or spiritually conscious content, or just maybe healthy and positive content? Where do you see this all going now that you have a really good start out of the gate?
I really have no idea. I do have an idea of what I will continue to do, and that is to show up. I think as a clergy person, I did this as an Army chaplain, you show up where people are. So to me on Twitter, the connections I've had on Twitter are not because I've put out brilliant content or anything. It's just because I've showed up there enough that people trust me and listen to a few things I might say. TikTok, I think, is the same thing. I think just showing up is really the main way to connect with people. And it's not to be, I can't like take it to a next level. I think I've already taken it to the level that it can be taken to, because now it's not weird to see a priest on TikTok. So really, you know, that's going to be hard to do. But I think to keep telling the story in the language that they understand on TikTok. And that's what I'm going to keep doing, because that's really what ministry is being faithful to a community and understanding them in a deeper way. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And maybe if there's another platform out there eventually, because there'll be like 25 more in the next 10 years. And hopefully other people will jump on those and figure them out.
Absolutely. All right. Well, so we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, You mentioned before, when we talked earlier this week, about we're in the new Middle Ages or maybe the neo-medieval times. And to dip into that further, and what does that mean? And what does that mean now? Of how do we, as folks of the various religious institutions, communicate and engage folks who might be really hungry for spiritual content but are either unaware or just have no interest in entering into a religious household, into a religious institution, but that doesn't mean that they're atheists. So how are we going to meet them where they're at, and all the ramifications of that? So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Reverend David Peters.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe, and please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review. If you can, we certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian. And you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode. And it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find a relationship with God through what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was What Do Women Really Want in a Man? And interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notifications so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained, over 50 hours of training, to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more of the presence of Christ and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Welcome back, Stuart, to A Priest and Two Rabbi. Two Priests and a Rabbi, as we look at the social media explosion of TikTok, and our guest, Reverend David Peters, joining us out of Austin, Texas.
So, Reverend Peters, listen, my brother, we have a question for you. So when you talked the other night with us, the other day, actually, you referenced the times that we're in right now as a bit of a new Middle Ages, or sort of like we're living in a medieval times 2.0. That wasn't literally your words. That was just my paraphrasing. But
I like it. I like it.
So what does that mean, and where is the opportunity, but also where is the danger in that?
Yeah, I think when I look at the world that I live in, this is the only period of history I get to live in, so it's the only one I know. But I look at the lack of trust in science that has sort of happened in the last 10, 15 years and then become very visible suddenly in the anti-vaxxer movement or in other movements that are questioning just even basic medicine. There's a resurgence of folk medicine in America, especially just from some of these other lack of trust in institutions. Most young people love to joke about how we didn't land on the moon, and they kind of believe it. And it's kind of a way of saying, like, I don't believe in the establishment anymore. There was a generation that saw it happen on TV, and they were sure that was the truth. I think these are kids who grew up watching dinosaurs on Jurassic Park like they were real. They are very savvy about what is real and what isn't. And I think that the new medieval period is a time of where people are more emotional. Things that are emotional tend to grab them in a way that may have been suppressed in previous times. And there's other factors too, but the danger of that is that that very strident and the issues that happened in the Middle Ages might happen again and are happening in our society, where whole groups of people are vilified for what seem to be natural calamities, where there's oppression of minorities. That's certainly part of the medieval experience. I also see it economically. I think when people question the tenets of capitalism as being an ultimate good, they are engaging with arguments that Thomas Aquinas and others made back in the day about, is it ever right to charge someone too little for a product, you know, or to talk about our collective work together. And I see a resurgence in religion, even practices of ritualism, of burning incense, of chanting things. I see this in younger people. These are the people that grew up in the Harry Potter world that was created by J.K. Rowling, and they immerse themselves in it. And it's a magical world where lots of things can happen. It's not always based on the things you can see with your eyes. And so I think the rise of white nationalism and ethno-nationalism and other really dangerous movements are also part of this. And the church has to speak to it to show people that in this age, it's there are grown-ups who are into caring for everyone and loving everyone and meeting people just where they are. That's where, like, why these 11-second videos, they very much remind me of something you would have seen in a town square by a court jester, you know, back in the day, doing a little silly song and dance, but also containing a deeper truth about reality and what is good, what the good is that we're all supposed to strive for.
Well, I think that's the advantage always of taking that comedic approach to the content that you're creating, and also the comedic approach in religion itself. You're reminded of the court jester or the fool always in Shakespeare, that the fool in Shakespeare oftentimes in those scenes is the wisest person who's trying to communicate a broader message, or the greatest comedians that we can all think of are usually some of the most socially conscious people that we know. And they're really trying to this back end way of getting us to really open up our minds and think about something in a new way. And if, could we say that potentially that the work that you're doing on TikTok could be that avenue where you are trying to open up a broader view and perspective of how we see our life and how we see it in not so boundary full ways right now, where there's these clear lines drawn, and it can be, especially on social media, where there can be, it can get pretty divisive at times, but you're looking to create a feel. And with TikTok, it's interesting because you're not using words somewhat like Twitter or Facebook. You're using an experience. Like Instagram is a, like you said, is an image, but with TikTok, it's really an experience. It's a very experiential platform where you just go and kind of can allow yourself to be consumed by the story for 11 seconds. And through this story and experience you're putting out, that the hope is not just to entertain them and be the court jester, but to fill them with a blossom of really, let's say, healthy and positive ways and perceptions of looking at life, how we do this thing called life with our fellow brothers and sisters on earth.
Yeah, that's a really critical part of it, because I think that that I don't know the outcomes of anything, especially with social media. Everyone that's ever gone viral, like even that term is a pretty new term, and it's the way we talk about you know, any kind of thing that's popular.
Sure.
There's a fleetingness to it, and there's an image that all images are false images, and all images are deceptive in some way. They're also not the whole story. And so I think to be responsible on social media when you have a little popularity is to tell the whole story as best you can of what a human life is about. Because I think a lot of the pathology of social media is that we think that everybody else is happy because we see them on a trip or a vacation, when in fact reality is a lot more complicated than that. But reality always has to start very simply from a very simple expression of joy. And to me, that is when I've struggled with my times of depression and other things, it's sometimes images from social media have helped me feel encouraged about life. I'm one of the women that I pray morning prayer with here in this coffee shop in a few moments. She posts a picture of the sunrise every morning on Facebook, and she's just on Facebook, and she's in the baby boomer generation. And I get encouragement from that picture every morning when I see it on Facebook. You know, this is the power of social media. There's a power to it that is beyond us. We're all, as my bishop here in Texas says, Andy Doyle, we're amplified humans. So whatever we're into and whatever we care about, we almost have a responsibility to amplify it, to share that good message with a larger audience.
Yeah, we as the rabbi I know that you are literally walking into a coffee shop to do morning prayer with it. And I want to just to close out on that statement you said of, we all know the negativity and the toxicity that can come with social media. But as people who are believers of a loving God, have a responsibility, as you said, that it can be really impactful if we choose to bring the love that we know of our Lord to our approach to social media. And that can be done through the ways that you do it in TikTok. It could be through the rabbi's positive posts about life, about his daughters. But that can change the direction of someone's day. And it's really powerful to know there's very good things that come out of social media. There's a lot of kingdom stuff that can happen through social media, many different ways, if we choose to commit to that, because it could brighten and really bring that source of love and happiness and joy that someone really needed at that point. And so it doesn't have to be something you have to run away from. So, Father Peters, we are so just appreciative of having you here. Can you please tell people where they can find you? We know you're at St. Joan of Arc Episcopal Church in a suburb out in near Austin. But can you tell us where other people can find you on social media?
Yeah, coffee shop here in Pflugerville. But, in social media, DVD Peters on Twitter and David W. Peters on Facebook, and then TikTok, I think I'm David Peters, I think.
I think you're David W. Peters.
Yeah, David W. Peters, yeah, because I don't even know how they share that. How TikTok works when it comes to sharing names and stuff. But, if you type in, TikTok priest, you'll find it. And you'll find some articles about that that'll have links to all this stuff. So I hope to see more clergy on TikTok. There's a thing on TikTok you can do called a duet, where you kind of mirror another video and make the same video they made, and they're shown together. I would love to see someone do like the outfit change TikTok duet with me. I would really love that, especially if you put on different outfits than I put on. That would be great.
Anyway, I think the rabbi should do that, because his children will be there too, to direct it.
Yes. They'll do the work. They'll do all the work.
You watch me change from a black suit to a gray suit.
Okay.
Maybe even a blue suit.
Yeah. But you got summer, there's some hats and things, and I don't know. I do know that the kids like hats. That's one thing that the videos I've done with hats seem to always be more popular, because they're part of your face. They're like part of your head, and that's very much TikTok is very face-oriented.
Well, you're using the tools of the church has given you, and you whip them out. So I'm at a church where they don't have as many bells and whistles, but your church does, so that's good, because people get into it. They want to know more. What's going on? Why is he wearing that thing on his head, Is that a Beretta? What is that? So anyways, well, God bless you, my brother. Thank you
so much for
coming on the show. And we'll see you out there on the interwebs of social media. And keep on bringing the love, my brother.
Most wonderful. Thank you all. Blessings. Peace. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, so Rabbi, how do you feel about this, man? This is we got celebrities for the show now. I mean, your daughters and anyone else out there too who shares the love that the rabbi's daughters have for TikTok and for this for Father Peters that we just had. Give us a call here. We have about another 10 minutes of the show here. 772-220-9788. Do you think it's appropriate for priests and rabbis and other religious leaders to be jumping on different social media platforms? Do you find that really effective? Do you love it? Do you like it? Or do you even know what TikTok is? We love to hear your thoughts on that. But Rabbi, so what are your thoughts on all of this? Does this get you inspired and want you to jump on TikTok?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, given the culture of where we are today, which is obviously a very different generation than we were a generation ago, right? That the access to information and the access of seeing our spiritual leaders as, you know, normal people and being able to bring the joy and the connectivity, I think is tremendous today. I mean, you know, talking with my confirmation students, and I know this is very this is very basic, but to say, what platform do you use? Well, you know, Facebook, that's for the old generation.
Of course.
And part of me says maybe I am the old generation, which I never thought I would be at 41 years old. And saying, well, what do you use? Well, we use Instagram. And you know, if we actually unpack that, why Instagram or other social media platforms other than Facebook? Well, with Facebook, it's a lot of text. It's a lot of, these are my feelings.
Yeah.
This is me sitting on the beach where everyone else is freezing, and let me show you what I'm doing, drinking my margarita. You know, whereas, you know, you look at Instagram and it is all images, right? And I think that that's where, you know, even when we see it today in the media, what is the media's main perspective is, let me give you the soundbite, let me give you the brief text, the big image, so that there's a way of connecting. And I think even today when we look at Instagram or we look at other social media platforms, even TikTok, I think that there's something there that says we are expanding our knowledge to be able to be inclusive for everyone and at the same time to reach a multitude of different people in different spaces of where they are. You know, just reflecting back on Reverend Peters, which I think is great, right? You know, you could be in a terrible, terrible bad mood. Maybe we are currently awaiting this pending storm. But, you know, you can be in a horrible mood. And you watch Reverend Peters change into his multiplicity of different outfits, and it gives you this sense of joy. I mean, it's just something of, it's different. It's fun. It's you know, half the outfits I've never seen before. And why do you use them? And you know, those things that just, I don't know, bring joy out of the everyday. And I think that as we go through with social media, that is the platform today for us to express ourselves. I mean, we do it today even with our own show, right? We post on social media on, you know, Instagram or Twitter and Facebook, you know, join us for this week's episode on A Priest and a Rabbi, right? We send out information. We send out images. We send out, you know, you do your video clips. You know, those ways of not only informing others around and in our area, or perhaps more nationally, but being able to say there's not just one way of access to faith,
and you have to get on the digital waves to do it because so many people are on there. And I think we do have a responsibility as religious leaders to have a pretty decent, well curated social media presence, because there's so many other influences out there. And if we're also thinking about, let's say, the young ones out there, they're on it. I mean, we just went on a mission to Ecuador, and when we get back to the hostel where we could stay, we'd give them a little bit of screen time, and they're boom, they're right on there, right? Mm-hmm. And they're jumping on to want to connect and see what's going on. And Snapchat was the platform of choice, and if they're not finding our messaging on there, well, there's going to be a lot of other people who are willingly to offer their messaging.
But I think that's just it too, is that people are in search, in some degree, of meaning or value, right? If you're not on it, and community, if you're not on it, they will search in order to find something that fits their, you know, religious ideology, or to find something that inspires and appeals to them. And if we're not on it, you know, we've missed the boat.
Exactly.
And others will fill that void.
They will fill the void. They will fill the void. So I look at a lot of other colleagues who have a pretty good presence out there. They have a huge followings, but it takes a lot of work. It does take time. And you do have to mark out time during your day, and you do have to engage with the folks out there. But again, if you're not doing it, there's going to be a lot of other voices and influencers that are going to be out there. And you could see what you said, the joy that just Reverend David brings. And I think it probably provokes a lot of questions, because since it's not culturally fully expected or even accepted for you to go to a religious institution, whether it's a church or a synagogue, that now you get this guy who's on TikTok who's doing this, and you're like, wow. So now your first impression as an 11-year-old or 10-year-old is priests are kind of goofy and fun. So that's much better than what we've usually think of when we see a priest. And then, oh, they have all these interesting clothes. What's that all about? And what does all that mean? And so it's changing a little bit of the narrative right now. When I first got out of seminary, wore my collar, I was always concerned what people were going to come up to me and what kind of drama they might bring because of just the history that's there.
So my favorite is, you know, as we're watching, and I was watching this the other night with my oldest daughter, watching Reverend Peters kind of go through his outfit changes. And my daughter, you know, of course we're Jews, and, you know, we don't really experience the collar very often unless we see it in movies or other platforms. And my daughter said, and bless her, she said, you know, Dad, I don't understand. This guy's wearing a black shirt, but, you know, it looks like he got a white stain there. What is that? And, you know, being able to express that of, you know, because it's an image. We see it. And, you know, for my kids, all they ever see is the image of, you know, me in a dark suit wearing a prayer shawl, wearing a tallit. You know, that's my outfit, you know, for Shabbat. That's my outfit when I lead services. But for her to be able to see, you know, a difference in religious culture, a difference in religious belief that is foreign to her own understanding. And I think the more we can impress these images upon ourselves and upon others, you know, it does break those barriers. It breaks those boundaries and in some degree breaks the ignorance of not knowing. And I think the not knowing and the ignorance of being able to not connect in ways that social media now says, no, there is no excuse.
Sure.
Now you have the ability, if you so choose, to delve deeper into it.
So I took a risk recently, real quickly, I'll tell you, and let me know what you think about this. So, you know, I have this YouTube channel, Your Favorite Christian, and I'm on there. And so I recently made a video about Lucifer, you know, the TV show Lucifer, mm-hmm. where this woman goes into a confessional booth. Have you watched this episode yet?
I have not.
Come on, dog. You're my rabbi. Anyways, so I'm on there, and I do this thing where instead of Lucifer, he's giving advice to the woman in the confessional booth, I start mashing up clips where I'm the one who's giving her advice. And I threw it up on all these different Lucifer fan club sites on Facebook and through my YouTube clip and see what they think. So they all totally into it. But I got some Christians who are like, how, you know, this is really weird for you to be communicating about a show called Lucifer about the devil, when it's really a kind of a redemptive show about that even the devil can be redeemed. But it's cool because I get to engage with this whole other audience of folks who are kind of into this guy who's the devil, but now they're engaging with this priest on YouTube, right? And so that wouldn't happen anywhere else. I mean, unless I go to some coffee shop where there's a bunch of Lucifer fans hanging out. But social media gives you this ability for me to jump in there, and I'm communicating with them. I'm not trying to convert anyone, but at least have communication, and they can see this goofy priest who's trying to come up with this stuff. I mean, social media is pretty cool that way if it's used in a real healthy way. So
I'd love to see you fuse together clips of the Borgias looking at the Pope.
That's, you know, good,
put
dude.
That in. Put that in. That
oh,
would be,
my gosh.
That would be exciting. I'd like to see that.
Well, listen, man, we got, you know, you all out there are just going to be in the midst of are praying for a really calm weather. We're praying for this storm to go back out into the ocean. So please join us in prayer for that, and look to our loving Father to be pushing that wind out there.
And wherever we are, whether we're here in South Florida, North Florida, Central Florida, you know, our prayers and our thoughts are with you all. And certainly, please, please be safe, be smart, and take great care.
Yep. So if you're listening on this podcast, send up some prayers. God bless you. You can always hear this episode if you missed it on A Priest and a Rabbi podcast on all the major platforms. God be with you. Peace.